she comes back. But if there's no way of moving back, what when your face falls apart? Have you got enough time?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Joshua P. Warren's Speaking of Strange, hosted by Vance Pollock.
Vance Pollock. Vance Pollock.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight into the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go into the field to investigate. I am your host, Vance Pollock, joined in the studio by investigator Shelley Wright. How are you, Shelley?
I'm great. I'm glad to be here. How are you?
I'm good. And Sam, the animal steel producing Sammy, how are you?
I'm all right, bud. How are you doing?
Quite well. Well, speaking of a crazy world, I have a feeling we might get back to this theme a few times during the course of the show tonight. The big nationwide solar eclipse is Monday, August 21st, and it's a little bit crazy. I mean,
yeah.
Crazy in just a people trafficking in eclipse glasses. Which may or may not be approved, may or may not burn your eyes out. But, yeah, there are people feeling sort of a astrological sort of weirdness about it. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the panic surrounding Y2K.
Yeah.
And 2012. There were a few people worked up about 2012. To me, the solar eclipse is kind of like a super full moon type effect.
Exactly.
Potentially, astrologically, cosmologically, yes, it could bring about strange behavior. Shelley, over at Nevermore, your paranormal boutique at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road, everybody, all our regular listeners, I think, have heard about it. And a great many of them stop in and check on Shelley. It's more than just a candle shop. It's more than just a hallmark for weirdos.
Yes.
It's a paranormal boutique. Shelley's got spell kits in there. She's got incense. She's got herbs and, yeah, good mojo for everybody. You've had folks coming in asking you, are you actually going to have Nevermore open on Eclipse Day?
And I had to ask him, when is the eclipse, actually? And yeah, they are like packing up and going to some national forest to early in the morning that day to be there for the eclipse.
I think Asheville is like, what, 99.4% totality, but they say that little sliver that isn't going to be covered here in Asheville, that for some people that want the full effect, driving for 45 minutes or an hour down to Brevard, I think it's going to be a totality at Brevard and a few other
like
places
upstate
close
South
by.
Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Then it's worth it for some people. And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how much of a traffic jam that's going to cause.
It's they're calling for like some serious traffic on the roadways, you know, and I think it's going to be a bigger event than we're probably thinking.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe I ought to close that day.
I don't know. I think maybe you better just hunker down at Nevermore.
Got my supplies.
It might be fun to have a eclipse viewing party at Nevermore.
Ooh, y'all are invited.
Monday. If anybody who's out and about wondering where to watch the eclipse on Monday, just go to Nevermore, 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. Also, you got a pretty good view of the sky from out in the parking lot, don't you?
I do. I don't have any special sunglasses.
I know that Highland is doing a viewing party from their rooftop bar. Have you ever been up there?
No.
It's like on the roof. It's like a grass area like this. It's pretty awesome up there,
right?
The beautiful vistas and everything, and it's all solar panels. But I know that's going to be banging sold out because people are going to want to drink beer.
Sure.
While this is going on. And, like, I'm curious as to what's going to happen with the animals and stuff because, you know, they're saying it's going to drop probably by 10 degrees.
Really?
Yeah. And the birds and it's going to mess up, like, some animals' rhythms, perhaps, you know?
Right.
And because it's going to get, like, dark, like it's night in the middle of the day. And my mom got me a pair of glasses. I got a green pair. And they're like welder's glasses. I mean, you put them on, you cannot see your hand in front of your face
sure.
whatsoever. And they're saying, you know, that a lot of places are going to be sold out. And apparently Amazon had to recall or, you know, I don't know if it was third-party vendors through there, but they were not up to snuff. I think a lot of people don't realize that you can't stare at it and not go blind.
Right.
Don't stare.
I thought it would be interesting to make the pinhole box camera like we used to make when we were kids. Basically, if you'll take a sheet of paper and punch a tiny hole in it and hold it, you know, with the sun, you know, to your back, you can project the light through that tiny pinhole onto another sheet of paper, and what you actually see projected on that other page is a view. I mean, it's like a camera view of the sky. It's kind of amazing. It's very simple.
It says here that vendors now selling on Amazon are back ordered till after the eclipse, and a pack of five is now costing like $60. And so, like, there's a whole secondary sale operation going on with, you know, reselling and all
ridiculous.
That.
I wish I had seen this a couple months off. I would have gotten a few pair and sold them on eBay for, you know, $10 a pop or whatever. Because, yeah, there is a panic on eclipse sunglasses. And do I have the inside scoop? No, I don't. I know from the Buncombe County Public Libraries that they have most of the branches at one time or another over the past several weeks have had batches of them, but they are gone. They are long gone. As recently as Wednesday, Oakley there on Fairview Road came off a batch of them, and they were gone that day as soon as the announcement was made that they had some. Ball Camera, the Photoshop
oh, yeah.
up there
Innsbruck.
At Innsbruck, they had some as recently as Thursday, I believe, but I think they're long gone.
It says here that you could actually use a pasta strainer or colander as a pinhole camera as well.
Hmm. A pasta strainer or a...
I mean, it's already got the pinhole in it, so mm-hmm. it's the same principle as the shoebox
right.
of yore. But that's interesting. I was just looking up different ways to
view the eclipse.
Apparently, the glasses that were recalled were counterfeit, and so somebody was trying to make a quick buck, and they were not dark enough, so they would not protect. I'm curious. This has not happened in 40 years. I'm 41 years old, so I've never experienced this.
Yeah, I don't remember. I do not remember. I must have been just a little kid when that was going on, and I spoke with a lady who said she remembers when she was in elementary school in Atlanta at the time that they got a partial one down there.
A semi?
I do remember some lunar eclipses.
Right.
One of the better lunar eclipses I ever saw was probably 25 years or more ago up at the Grove Park Inn. I was actually out on the front deck at the Grove Park Inn watching the lunar eclipse, and that's a full moon when the Earth gets between the sun and the moon, and so that the shadow of the Earth falls over the full moon.
You would have been down in Florida during the big, was it 86, the Halley's Comet?
I remember Halley's Comet, yeah.
Remember that? And it was like the big, and I was probably like in fifth, sixth grade, something like that. And so I remember it being really late, and it was like, ooh, we get to go out to the beach at midnight or whatever. And our friend's dad was taking us down there. We stayed in the car, like reading Archie comics, just trying to stay up. And then we got down to the beach, and they had like, you know, dudes with huge telescopes, and they'd let us look, and I'm like, what? That's it? And through a huge telescope, it was like a grain of fuzzy rice. And I was like, that's that's it. That was it. I mean, I don't know what I was expecting. Like, you know, as a kid, I was...
Yeah, it was just another little...
Or when Mars was the closest to Earth that it ever was back in, like, 07 or something like that.
And it was just, like, a little bit brighter
A little
star.
Bit brighter. And yeah. I think everybody was expecting it to be, like, some, you know, basketball-sized glowing orb.
Well, either of you guys had a chance to watch any of the Perseid meteor shower recently? A friend of mine was live streaming the Perseid meteor shower in recent weeks and said, for instance, the other night that there were like 36,000 viewers on his live YouTube channel, and they saw like 77 one night. I think that was, what, last Saturday night or something. So pretty impressive, the meteor showers, the full solar eclipse on Monday, and that's going to run the course. I mean, it's going to cover from sea to shining
city. I believe it'll
sea to shining city.
Here in Nashville,
it kicks in.
It's going to be at about, I think, if I'm correct, it's 2:47.
We'll confirm that with people after the first break. We'll look that up and make the confirmation, or maybe Sam will jump on that right now.
Yeah,
but it's going to start up there in the Pacific Northwest, and it's going to exit down around Charleston, South Carolina. Our friends down there in Charleston.
It's like a 75-mile swath or something like that. Is that correct? Like width?
Right. Our friends Rebel Sinclair and Mark Jones down in Charleston are going to be having a viewing party, I believe.
2:37 is where it will be passing over Asheville.
And it's going to last just 2.5, 3 minutes.
I think 2.5, 3 minutes is the total darkness.
Right. That's the peak.
And,
interesting.
So who knows? And let's not forget to take into account that after that, there's the impending end of the entire world as we know it, with a potential nuclear war. So yeah. that should be fun to watch too.
Is the solar eclipse the portent of doom? Some people are always looking for doomsday prediction or a premonition of doomsday. I don't know.
If the solar eclipse is named Donald Trump, then yes.
If it were a large meteor poised to strike the Earth. Perhaps, but the solar eclipse, I think it may just, you may find people acting panicked, people being a little bit weird, but if anything strange really happens among humans here in the shadow of the eclipse, I think it's going to be self-fulfilling prophecy.
That'd be a good album title, In the Shadow of the Eclipse.
Yes. Ooh,
that's like
it.
A black metal album.
Yeah.
You're listening to Joshua P. Warren Speaking of Strange with Vance, Shelley and Sam, and we'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's Joshua P. Warren speaking of strange. I'm your host, Vance Pollock, joined in the studio by investigator Shelley Wright and producer Sam the Animal Steele. On the line of the eclipse coming up Monday, let's run with this. This is a fascinating news story. Legit, as far as I can tell, it's come in from several places. This report from BGR.com, South Carolina warns citizens of lizard man sightings during solar eclipse. You know about the South Carolina lizard man?
I've heard about the lizard man.
Okay. Get this. The South Carolina Emergency Management Division, SCEMD, is warning citizens in several of its counties to be vigilant of paranormal activity associated with the upcoming total solar eclipse. Considering that the eclipse is a space event, you might think the warning is simply an amusing alert to keep an eye out for UFOs. But that's really not the case. SCEMD is being quite specific about its advice, and it's asking citizens to be wary of lizard men. It might sound like an April Fool's joke, but SCEMD's warning is apparently completely legitimate, as South Carolina has a history of lizard man sightings. The agency tweeted out a handy map of where lizard men have been spotted in the past, along with an overlay of the path of the solar eclipse. And I'm looking at a photo of that image right here in the SCEMD caption. Is this historical map is in response to recent media reports about possible paranormal activity associated with the upcoming total eclipse. SCEMD does not know if lizard men become more active during a solar eclipse, but we advise that residents of Lee and Sumter counties should remain ever vigilant. The historical map is in response to recent reports dating back to the 1980s. I think the first popular, or, you know, what wouldn't have been considered viral then, but any the things that got sort of a stir and picked up by the national media were lizard men sightings in the early 80s. Described as a red-eyed demon, the creature or creatures have crossed paths with other South Carolina residents in the years since 1980, with several more reports of large lizard-like creatures helping to build the local lore. The eclipse, which is slated to take place on August 21st, is sure to be an exciting event. But if you happen to live in South Carolina, it might be safer to just watch it from your windows.
If you live in Sumter, South Carolina, we wish you the best of luck anyway.
You're going to bring your eyes out or you're going to get eaten by
now, lizard man. Now, here's something that's probably a little more pertinent or realistic than a lizard man sighting during the eclipse. The last time a total solar eclipse crossed the United States coast to coast, there was 6.2 million registered motor vehicles in the entire country. So fast forward to about today in 2015, there was 263.6 million
holy smokes
registered vehicles, tossing a couple more million since then. Now add a total solar eclipse during the summer months while there's more traffic on the highways and it goes pitch black at 2-something in the middle of the afternoon. That does drastically increase the chances of distraction, meaning more fender benders and or total accidents, because you have to take in, and get this number, this will blow your mind, 200 million people live within a day's drive of the eclipse path.
200 million
200
people
million
within
people.
A day's drive?
Yeah, so a lot of people going to be like, ooh, let's go check this out, first time it's happened in 40 years.
Let's hop in the car and drive. Wow.
I don't want to be in a car. I'm done with cars.
Shelley has had a little trouble. Yeah, some serious car troubles. But Shelley's all right, right, Shelley?
I'm fine.
You got all checked out and
props,
you've got a clean bill of health.
Yeah, I'm
Nissan,
good.
Nissan, Mazda, Toyota, what was it?
Do I? Oh, the rental car I was.
No, your car.
Oh, mine was a Toyota Camry.
Yeah, good job for them because the back looked pretty messed up, but you're okay.
I'm okay. Not a scratch. My car was totaled. So I got to
props. Big ups to Toyota.
Shopping.
Got to go car shopping. And you said somebody told you that recently seems like there have been a lot more car accidents.
Yeah.
I mean, before the eclipse, even, because Mercury is in retrograde. What does that mean,
Shelley?
Basically,
it is a time when, you know, if you notice that, you know, electronics, they go on the fritz a lot more, or people that you normally get along with people, especially certain people, and you never have a cross word. You practically read each other's minds. It's like you cannot communicate at all, especially with those people that you usually can. You know, they're hurt feelings. There are lots of fights. It's just bad. And earlier this week, I had deadlines and my smartphone wouldn't work. My tablet wouldn't work. Oh, it was just maddening. And then, of course, you know, my car wouldn't work.
So it might be good advice to not make any life-changing decisions while Mercury is in retrograde.
Exactly. I wouldn't do
like
that.
It's like being under a bad moon, huh?
Mm-hmm. It's very, very intense. And I don't think that it's going to go direct again until September 5th.
Wow.
So
we've got meteor showers, Mercury in retrograde, and a total solar eclipse. There's some weird stuff going on.
It's
and
intense.
If that don't confuse a lizard man in the swamps of South Carolina, what
now,
would?
What was the other thing I saw recently about Sasquatch? Here in Western North Carolina, it was from the News 13 site, so I don't know.
And speaking of Sasquatch, though, Sam, you said there was a song called "Squatch Rocket."
That was my former band. My former band used to play. It was written by Mr. Brad Pope about the premise being we were driving home from a gig late one night up High 26, and. Out of nowhere, we saw these headlights coming up behind us, and it was a Sasquatch on a Kawasaki Ninja. And he flew by us, and it was a Squatch Rocket.
Squatch Rocket.
I like it.
You gotta
that was a
that
fun
up.
Song. We used to open up like the second or third set with it. It was just an instrumental, except that it had one word. We'd pause, and everybody else, Squatch Rocket.
Brilliant.
I think I'll find a copy. I'll play
dig it. Up Squatch Rocket, because I think that definitely belongs in the, speaking of strange, bumper music. Always have a good time digging up new bumper songs, and we pepper a few in. We hope that some of the stuff we're doing is becoming more familiar to you. I've settled on a few favorites. I switch a few out. Sometimes I recycle a playlist from week to week, but now we've started to drop some old familiar ones in there, like the Blasters' Dark Knight. You'll be hearing that one that goes back several years on Speaking of Strange. That was one of Josh's go-tos. So, yeah, working with the music helps keep us sane, I think. I've been on a little bit of a Beach Boys kick recently.
Always good.
Yeah, my buddy Rick brought some records by, and we were listening to some records and flipping the Beach Boys 45s over and playing the B-sides. Now, if you had that double album, it was like a greatest hits that came out in 74, and I know there must be a million of them floating around, but a double album called Endless Summer. And isn't summer,
I've got
you know,
that.
The Beach Boys
yeah.
are such a great summer collection. Yeah, Endless Summer's got some of those B-sides on there that were really great tunes. So revisiting the Beach Boys as summer ebbs. We've only got a couple more weeks until Labor Day, and then that's pretty much the swan song of summer. But you wouldn't know it right now. It's hot as Hades. Ooh. Out there. Hot
humid.
As Hades. So one nice thing for a few minutes during this total solar eclipse, if it drops 10 degrees, I don't think we'll miss them. It might actually cool things off, cast a little shade. It's like going in the parking lot. Do you often choose the spot in the parking lot where there's a little bit of shade, try and park under a tree?
I don't think, not on purpose. My dad might. In Florida, you couldn't do that because you get sap all over. But no, here, not really. If it's not too far out of the way, yeah, sure.
I always try to find the shady spot. Then by the time I get back out, the sun has moved and the car is in the boiling heat anyway. Yeah, we are making it on through summer, and there's more strange things in the weeks ahead. We'll fill you in on some of that weirdness when we get back after the break. Speaking of strange... Speaking of strange, again, that's the Beach Boys. That's one of those B-sides I was telling you about, but unmistakably, the Beach Boys. Did you know about the Glen Campbell connection, that Glen Campbell been playing with the Champs, and then the Champs were the ones that did Tequila. Yeah, he was definitely a session player. He had cut a couple of records. He had cut a record that Brian Wilson wrote, which I guess I'm dumb. That's a pretty neat one. But, yeah, Glen Campbell passed away last week. And I was fascinated to find some photographs of the Beach Boys tour late 64, early 65, when they toured the Southeast with Glen Campbell in the band, because Brian Wilson was, one of the greatest songwriters of the 60s, but he wasn't touring with the group anymore. So Glen Campbell, that's right, the Glen Campbell was on the road with the Beach Boys, and I found photographs of Glen Campbell playing drums, playing bass, playing guitar, singing leads. I mean, he was a multi-instrumentalist, and traveling with the Beach Boys, they switched off on instruments quite often. One guy would come up front to sing leads on a particular song, and they would switch instruments a lot. Beach Boys, very talented. They were the American Beatles. That's honest to say. They were the American Beatles, and they sold millions of records. And it is the music of my childhood, along with the Beatles. Of course, we heard all that stuff, too. And like you say, Sam... You can kind of divide them up also between the early and the later stuff. And I kind of like it all. You know, it's hard to beat something like Good Vibrations. So, what are you reading about there?
I was just saying that, like, when Pet Sounds came out, the Beatles were like, whoa, you know, like, this is the best album. And so Brian Wilson, you know, he was constantly like, how am I ever going to do anything as good as the Beatles? And the Beatles are like, how are we ever going to do anything as good as Brian Wilson? And meanwhile, you also have the Who connection. I'm reading the Keith Moon book, and Keith Moon was just infatuated with the Beach Boys and, you know, loved them more than anything. He used to have a record player in his, it was a Bentley, like a convertible, and one of the options was a record player.
Right.
And he would just play this one particular Beach Boys song over and over and over and over and over. And then he finally got to meet, it wasn't one of the brothers or the cousin, but he was, not Dennis, not Mike, not Carl, not...
not Brian.
Who was the other guy? He's not a Wilson, not Al Jardine, and the other guy.
I don't know. Yeah, the one we didn't mention.
Yes, the guy.
Keith Moon got to,
but they ended
got
up
to by, meet the other Beach Boy.
But then by the time he finally got to meet the whole band, they were deep into their transcendental meditation. Mike was, at least, and they were kind of in that weird... phase, and they weren't singing about girls, and that's what he liked the earlier Beach Boys,
right?
You know, like, even though he lived nowhere near a beach or had a surfboard or anything like that, that was what he wanted to be.
Oh, yeah, fascinating. But anyway, that is what I've got into recently, back on the trail of the Beach Boys, because I wanted to kind of revisit Glenn Campbell. Everybody, when somebody a legendary musician dies, everybody starts posting generally the more popular stuff, and I guess
like
that
a rhinestone cowboy.
Yeah, I guess Southern Skies was on the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack or something like that. Anytime a popular movie puts an old song on the soundtrack, it's like giving it to an entire new generation. It was like a friend of mine was telling me that his son and daughter were excited to share a new song with their dad, and they started playing Kenny Rogers' The Gambler.
Great song.
And he laughed and said, kids, that's not new. It was new to them, but they heard it, and they loved it, and they were just listening to Kenny Rogers' The Gambler on repeat. Maybe we'll use that as a bumper later on the show.
I think for my generation, at least, or for me personally, Wayne's World and Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody, like, that totally.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, like, they had the whole scene in the car where they're, you know, mimicking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't familiar with that song at that point.
It made a big comeback in the wake of Wayne's World. Absolutely. And now everybody, another generation forward, people are familiar with Bohemian Rhapsody. I thought it was kind of a staple of 70s rock radio. In any case, we are talking rock and roll, and we're talking music here a little bit. We do that now and then. We hope some of you people can follow along, and if you don't know what we're talking about, take notes and listen. Because there's good stuff out there. So much good music. There's not enough time to listen to all the music. It's like that Twilight Zone episode where Burgess Meredith, after the Holocaust, the nuclear Holocaust, he goes out and he's collecting books up on the steps of the library, and he's ready to sit down and read in peace and quiet, and drops his glasses.
Now, what always bothered me about that is, you know, he found all the books. And so there's, you know, all this stuff is available to him. He breaks his glasses. He can't see. But you'd think, like, worst comes down to it, you're going to start trying to find some more glasses.
That's what I think.
What, he's just going to give up? He's like, oh, my glasses broke.
Right. Maybe we should develop the follow-up to Time Enough at Last. Twilight Zone's Time Enough at Last, where Burgess Meredith finds some glasses.
I was always a big
glasses.
Fan of the Shatner episodes. You know,
I'm thinking, you know, even if he found a good magnifying glass, you know, he could work with
improvise.
It a little bit.
Exactly. You've got the whole world to yourself.
Maybe it turned out better, but he was pretty distraught there for a minute after he broke his glasses.
I would be too.
Time Enough at Last is the title of that, and when I was thinking Time Enough at Last to just listen to music, which luckily a pizza parallel is
we can
listen to a lot of music on the pizza trail or back in the dish pit.
If your car stereo works.
Yeah, I couldn't do it without my radio. If my radio didn't work, I just could not do this. So it's been like an odyssey of driving around and around and listening to music. Time Enough at Last. Anyway, big eclipse coming up on Monday, and it's going to get particularly strange. Maybe we need to go out and try and channel some vibes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We've been teasing about putting Shelly in a spooky place and having her phone it in, and I think we've got such a place.
It just so happens that where we sit Right now, there's two buildings. We are on the largest parcel of undeveloped land in Buncombe County. And there are two buildings on this piece of land. Where we are broadcasting from is what we call the new building. And it was built several years ago, got all the studios in it. The other building is the sales building, formerly where Kiss FM used to be. Formerly where 570, where Speaking of Strange used to broadcast out of. That used to be over in that building. And that building is old enough that it has a bomb shelter, which might need to be brought back into play in the near future. But for years, I'm not even lying. I was up here late the other night to like 4 in the morning, and I was terrified just going out to my car. It's so dark out here, and there's animals. Like, I was hearing some sort of turkeys or something way off in the field, like, doing it. You don't know what they're – it's just – I had a headlamp on. It's very dark, and over there at the other building is purportedly, for years, we've heard rumors of a haunting, that it's haunted over there. So we were going to make Shelley put her money where her mouth is, and we were going to stick her over in the other building alone
we've been talking about doing one of these live remotes from a spooky location, and I think tonight
baby steps, you know,
is the night to do it. I mean, you try it out. There's some other locations I would like to try out. I think we might at some point, if this one goes over well, we might need to send Shelley up the street to the cemetery where Claude Calloway's mother-in-law, who committed suicide, is, and try to commune with Nola Swan.
Where my grandma and grandpa are buried.
Okay.
Yeah.
And ask Nola what happened to Claude Calloway. I think that would be interesting. We've had some success just putting it out there, asking the spirits for information on mystery persons from here in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Nola should know what happened to Claude. So maybe that would be a good follow-up. And like I say, it's just right up the street.
So for this last segment, are we just going to do this for the last segment?
Last segment, first hour? Shelley down there.
It's short segment. You know, you don't have to be over there too long.
I want to know what I get when I come back victorious.
I
don't
know.
One thing out of the snack machine.
Yeah, that's right. I'm good for
it. I already know what it is.
I'll buy you something out of the snack machine.
I'll even give you three suggestions. You can't go wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. Snickers bar or a bag of Cheetos or what else is in there?
Well, Vance, she might not come back, so don't get that dollar out yet.
Oh, I'm going to come back.
Let's do this. Let's ease Shelley into the dark and lock the door behind her. Get her to phone it in during the next segment. You're listening to Joshua P. Warren Speaking of Strange on WWNC, the Talk of the Mountains. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange, and we've got a little rebel on our side, rebel with a cause. She's Shelley Wright, investigator Shelley Wright. We just decided to put her in the field. Why not?
We locked her in the other building.
Literally the first time I had ever set foot in that place, and I'd heard all these stories, oh, the abandoned studio next door, and I was like, could it really be all that creepy? Believe me, folks, it is creepy. It's not just a matter of convenience. If I had were able to pick a place with the atmosphere that we have on the back of this property where Miss Shelley Wright is now locked down, I couldn't have picked a better place. And you mentioned the bomb shelter in the basement. Get this, the decal on this heavy steel door says Department of Civil Defense Fallout Monitoring Station. I'm no joke. I mean, it's legit Cold War.
Mm-hmm. So, Shelley, where are you at in the building?
I am at the top of the stairs where the fallout shelter is. And
okay.
I'm wondering if you're still going to be able to hear me. It is loud down here.
Oh, there's some equipment down there. You have a lot of radio equipment that's humming and hurrying, but you also it makes some weird noises for sure. A lot of Yeah, we're starting to lose you down in the bomb shelter.
Yeah.
I took the dare. I'm here.
Okay.
And seriously, as creepy as you have made this place out to be, it truly is even creepier than that.
Are you getting any weird feelings, any weird vibes?
Yeah. I mean, down here, it is very, very heavy down here. It just feels like this heavy blanket has just settled over me. And it felt the same way when you guys were with me a little while ago. It is definitely a creepy place. It is, and you know, it's not just that it's quiet. You know, radio stations are not supposed to be quiet. I mean, you can just feel all of the people that worked here. You can feel all of the happy times and just. The blood, sweat, and tears that went into this place.
There's a lot of history that goes back in that building.
The ghosts of radio personalities past.
And, you know, they do stick around.
Yeah.
I mean, have you, now the rumor has it, so I've worked around here for getting close to 20 years now, and ever since I've started here, I've heard that there was some sort of ghosts in that building, but I don't know if I don't think anybody passed.
Ooh.
I don't know. I mean, there's no telling that. It's been around for a long time.
Shelley, do you want to put a call out?
I could. I mean, I've already put a call out, and I just heard something weird back in the very, very back with the loudest machines. But I did put a call out to let me know if someone was here, if they had anything they wanted to say to me. And I felt like there were, you know, one or two people kind of hanging around me. I don't have the same feeling, though, that I have with the ghost that he goes into the women's bathroom. I don't know if he goes into the men's bathroom in the new studios, but he definitely, okay, so my stomach feels very, very weird.
Okay.
Where are you at now, Shelley? Are you still in the hallway at the top of the stairs there?
Oh, no. I've been in bomb shelter the whole time I've been talking to you.
Oh, okay.
So it's like there's like a little door down there that we don't know where it goes to, and it's
we have no idea. It's, where'd it go?
And there's rats down there, too.
A decontamination shower.
Yeah.
There's old metal filing cabinets with obsolete audio odds and ends.
So what was the feeling you just got that was weird?
It just felt like something was messing with my stomach. It felt very fluttery, but I also felt this pressure like it was being pushed on between my stomach and my chest. That was kind of weird. But I do feel like there were people around. They haven't shown themselves yet. Let's come up here into this really back section here.
Yeah, that's where it gets. There's like dirt subfloors in there. It's kind of.
I hear some kind of random water in here. Why don't we have that checked out? It's
Well, don't worry.
It's creepy.
We're going to be coming to get you in just a few minutes because we're coming up on the break in a little over a minute. So we'll come rescue you if need be.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be off to retrieve Miss Shelley Wright.
Because she's locked in there right now.
Yeah, literally.
Oh, yeah, I'm locked in. I can't get out. If something happens, I'm going to have to, like, go through the glass or something.
Well, I guess you could just open the back door.
Okay.
We'll come to your rescue in during the break.
What was that? It sounded like you just felt something.
What?
It sounded like you just felt something.
I'm good. I was walking kind of back upstairs. Yeah, even the upstairs portion here is heavy. And you know, there are weird little sounds.
You are listening to Joshua P. Warren speaking of strange. Investigator Shelley Wright live from the haunted radio station. legit. It's pretty creepy over there. We better go get her out.
We'll get you in a sec, Shelley.
Okay.
We'll be right back after the break.